Hello! You are listening to The Dungeon Boys. The Dungeon Boys is a group of friends telling a story, Dungeons and Dragons style. This is our first season of The Dungeon Boys, Stardust Echoes. This podcast is 1,000,000% rated M for don't listen to this if you can't listen to dick jokes and a sane fuck.
We have the pleasure and privilege of welcoming back Sam and Mully. And of course, you all know Arlen, who plays Valen. So we'll have them introduce their characters that you saw. Well, you didn't see. Unless you checked out the character art on our Discord or Instagram or whatever social media. But that you heard last session. And two new players coming in hot. Don't worry. We have an update for you all about the most amazing Harper's Requiem and the rest of the team, which we would really like to tell you. So if you've never listened till the end, this is the episode that you're going to want to. So I need all of you folks that listen to us and enjoy this to wait for an update at the end of this session on Pants, Temple, Grayson, Six, and Torash, because there is one for you. But with that, bullies, go ahead and tell them who you are.
Hey, y'all. This is Arland, your winged tiefling Sorlock, Valen.
Hi, I'm Mully B, and I play Emberly, a cleric druid fire fairy who likes shiny, glowy things.
Hello, I'm Fox, and I'm playing the Bun Bun Paragon Squeak, who is a paladin wizard.
I totally heard lizard.
Paladin wizard.
Surprise! He's not actually a bunny. He just gave away his thing. No,
inside me is a lizard.
And I'm the Jen. I'm going to be playing a Squish, a Griff, a space hippo, basically a forge cleric.
Hi, I'm Sam, and I'll be playing Gabbage, a halfling rogue.
And my name is Justine. I am your dungeon daddy, dungeon master, game master, whatever you want to call me. And with that, the Dungeon Boys proudly present Stardust Echoes. In the last few episodes, the Harper's Requiem finally made it to the Vaults of Nautical. But as they are about to ascend into the fiery volcanic ash, which was the race's starting point, Valen was pitched into complete blackness. There, he came face to face with Tarith, and a vision so terrifying of all of his teammates meeting their end. Tarith let him know that this was the future. This is what would come to pass if they were to compete in the Vaults of Nautical. Tarith also revealed that he was Valen's father. With a heavy heart, Valen made the decision to betray his team, writing lies and messages to send them in the opposite direction of the Nautical, while he alone pursued the scope, the next piece of the canon that would help save the entire Adial system. Tarith sent Valen back in time 2 days, with the only hint being to find the One of Flame. After taking in some unlikely companions from his old crew, Valen ran into a fire fairy druid named Emberly. Emberly and him started to connect, and he realized this might be the one that Tarith had sent him to. Just then, though, another strange visitor literally crashed his garbage can into Emberly's ship, and thus they met Garbage. As they were all figuring out who each other was and why fate had brought them together, Jigalda let Valen know that Garbage smelt like none other than Lilith, his ex-patron, now enemy.
So you are all standing there stiff. Jagalda poised over Garbage's chest, nails digging in, with her tail-turned dagger right at his throat.
Balin, traces of Lilith energy detected.
At that moment, you see Valen's hand start glowing, like a black and red aura wraps around his hand, like almost like electricity and fire mixed.
You see Garbage slowly reaching into his pocket,
and then Valen's gonna, like I said, he was reaching up to offer him a hand, and then Valen's just gonna grab him by his jacket and pick him up. Who the fuck sent you?
Garbage is going to be reaching, and he's going to have his hand on a dagger, and he's going to be, careful, friend, I might have to show you some kindness back. And he's just going to be staring you down.
Found's going to, he still has him picked up. He's going to start walking toward the garbage chute again. He goes, who the fuck sent you?
Are you working for Lilith? How do you know this name?
At that, Jagalda, like, rears back and goes,
recalculating.
Val's just gonna look at him. He goes, I just don't take kindly to people who associate themselves with her.
Everyone that I've ever met that has known her is dead. I want her to be sent back to the hells where she belongs.
Alright, with that, I think he's gonna slowly put him down on the ground. He looks down at him. He goes, well, I hope you're telling the truth, sir. As I will end you.
Apologies. We are, what's the humanoid term? Skittish.
And then she looks up at you floating along the top.
Apologies for bringing violence to your ship. What was your name?
I'm Emberly. You guys good? Because I was about to cast a shield around one of you, or both of you.
Valen like steps back, and his wings were flared out a little bit. They kind of come back down. He goes, I'm fine as long as he's telling the truth.
Yeah, we're just fine. But he's gonna be like, you can see his body slowly relaxing just a little bit as he puts his knife back.
And when he does that, you all look down and see almost like 2 feet diagonal behind him in the exact same pose, like standoff pose, is the raccoon putting a small toothpick back. Just as Garbage is, like, copying his
toothpick. Oh.
Good job, TP. You got my back, buddy. And he's going to give him, like, a cool little handshake.
Yeah, they do a secret handshake.
Jagalda, can you put your spiky bits away?
Yes.
Thank you. So, I feel like maybe we all started off on the wrong foot here. Is everybody good? Tell me where are you going? She points at Garbage.
Well... I'm just a purveyor of fine goods. I kind of travel where they are. Yeah. I'm going over to the Vaults Nautical. See, I need some new equipment, and I know there's going to be a lot of dead bodies there. They got primo equipment. yeah, I need a new rifle scope. You got any rifle scopes on ya?
Nope. Fresh out of those.
Yeah, shit. All right. What about you? I know such a big, strong, burly, winged man like yourself is surely packing. And also probably has a really good blaster, right? You have any good optics for that blaster?
Val looks at him and he just goes, he looks at his, points at his eyes. He goes, yeah, the only optics I need are here.
Disappointing. Oh, hey, hot stuff, how you doing? He's gonna point out, or, like, extend a hand over to, Emberly.
She gingerly places a hand out.
he's gonna grab it and then, like, draw it in and, like, kiss it. And then he's gonna, like, put his hair back. He's Jeez. Like, ha-ha! I knew I liked you guys. So, where are we going?
That's how easy it was for Sam to become okay. Part of this. You two are still figuring each other out. You have no idea who each other is. And he's just like, okay, where are we going? I love it.
I think right now, Emberly is feeling very overwhelmed because this is the most social interaction she's had in a very long time. Really long time.
She got silence on everybody.
I was headed to Tenebris, and he's hitching a ride. You're welcome to come with us.
Is Tenebris on the way to Vault Nautical?
Technically, yes.
Well, that'll get me a little closer to getting some good stuff. Always like the shiny things. Ain't that right, TP?
Tiny raccoon high five.
Yeah, buddy.
Jigalda cocks her head and says,
Tenebris, why are you going to Tenebris?
Emberly looks at Jigalda, and I think she's still overwhelmed. She's trying to figure out how much she should share. I've been away for a while, but something called me there, and I feel like I need to follow it.
What do you mean by that?
Okay, I'm going to do one more insight, because I just don't know. I still don't know how much I should trust them.
That's okay.
It's a 16.
Okay.
Garbage is just going to be staring at you doe-eyed like, just because he thinks you're hot.
Valen, why don't you tell her what she sees with that insight?
I think the main thing that she sees is genuine concern. Because he's also trying to piece together, like, he's never seen a creature like her before. And the last bay creature he encountered is Kite. I think you just see genuine concern on his face and curiosity because he's kind of putting pieces together. He's like, well, she's not from... I don't recognize her. Mm-hmm. It's a different creature. I've explored a lot of this galaxy, a lot all around in the last... My entire lifetime, basically. And he's come across different species, and he's never come across anything like her before. And I also knew Terwin felt it and had a surge of energy from her as well.
Okay. I think between that and having the knowledge that she has, and you see her hand again kind of like almost unconsciously stray towards her bag again, and she says, a vision pulled me out of the ethereal, and a lot of time has passed for me. I've missed a lot of things, and I am just trying to get some answers. And she looks really sad. You can see that her flames kind of dim a little bit.
Val's gonna turn to Jigalda and kind of whisper to her. He's like, hey, Jigalda, can you do me a favor?
Maybe.
Can you project an image of Terwin, please?
Yes.
And her eyes blink and a projection hologram comes up and you see a half-elf with silvery blonde hair strung up in the web of an eyelash bat, looking like she's struggling, but you see a clear vision of what this female looks like.
I turned to Jigalda. I'm like, is that really the only picture you have of Terwin?
I felt it showed her facial features the best.
And then she blinks again, and it's a normal vision of Terwin standing next to a very tall golden dragonborn with admiration in her eyes.
Aww.
And then Valen's going to turn to Emberly and be like, did you happen to see someone that looked like her in this vision?
Yeah. Yeah, I did. And she kind of, her brow furrows and she gets closer to the hologram and she's like, she looks back at you and she's like, you saw that too?
When she turns to Valen, you noticeably see his posture slacken, his shoulders shrug, and just kind of zones out a little bit, like just kind of sadness. Yeah, I don't know how to put this, but I was at the center of that pulse of energy. Well, my group and I were a few days ago.
We were the ones who triggered it.
A flurry of colors pass over her skin. I think I need to thank you, because I wouldn't be here if that hadn't happened. It's how I got out of the place that I was in, and I feel like I was losing my mind. I guess this is a thanks. She looks at you, and she opens the bag, and she's trying to, like, do it in a way that's not going to alarm you, and she grabs a notebook.
The minute that notebook comes out, Inferno Jones runs towards you and starts like sniffing the heck out of it.
Yeah, I'm gonna hold it out for Inferno Jones and kind of lean away so that she could sniff it safely, and then slowly pass it to Valen.
She sniffs it, like stress shakes again, and looks at you, Valen, and goes.
In Inferno, he's gonna turn to Inferno and be like, "It's okay. It's fine. And he kind of pets her, and then he reaches out for the notebook.
Does Emberly or Garbage speak Infernal?
Yes, Emberly does.
Common halfling thieves can't?
Okay, so not Infernal. So you hear this tiefling have like a guttural voice shift and speak a language that you don't know. But the fairy in front of you seems to understand perfectly. So you heard his kindness in that moment, Molly, and you also would now have known and learned that this hellhound understands Infernal.
Ooh, okay. I'm gonna stop flying and drop to the bottom of the bubble. Hi, I'm Emberly. I'm a friend.
Roy, animal handling.
Okay.
The druid's time has come.
Oh my god, it's an 11.
What is happening? Okay, that's your new name in the campaign. You are no longer Emberly. You're 11.
11.
Instead of narrowing her dog-like eyes, she kind of shakes again, and this time you notice little pieces of ash flake off her, and almost like when she inhales between the pieces of fur and ash, you see like magma go in and out, and she kind of comes up to you and licks your hand, and it's the first time Inferno Jones, I think, has licked someone and it hasn't burned them.
I smile. And then I'm gonna slowly reach into my bag and pass her a little ration.
She grabs it and then runs behind Valen and starts munching on it aggressively.
She chuckles.
Then Sir Charles jumps off your shoulder and turns into a tiny Inferno Jones and comes up and licks your hand like he wants a treat too.
She's gonna tear up a smaller piece for him. And then she pats him on the head.
And then Teepee looks at you, Garbage, looks at this woman handing out free food, and then pretends to be a dog, but is very still clearly a raccoon, and comes up to you and licks your hand, and his breath is rancid.
As he's, like, passing by my side, I'm gonna lean down and be like, don't forget to wag your tail, dude. Come on.
Yeah. And the raccoon very weirdly wags his tail.
Attaboy.
She's not grossed out by him, but the scent is a little bit much for her, so she just very gingerly passes him.
And instead of taking it like a dog, he sits up again and takes it with his little fingers.
Oh my god.
Like, puts it in his mouth.
That's pretty cute.
Valen, while this is happening, you look at this journal. I need an insight with advantage.
God. Well, thank God for advantage, because I rolled a natural 1 and then I rolled an 18, which makes it 21.
The minute it touches your hands, you feel Tareth's magic pulse in you. And Tareth has been quiet now since your last big moment. And you look, you recognize this journal as your mother's. You close your eyes and inhale the scents of the treehouse in Invinia, of the smell of the wind that would roll off of her wings, and you almost hear the faint of her laughter, and Tareth's magic almost pulls from you, like it's drawn towards it, still so, so weak. You had maybe seen this twice in your life. She kept it very hidden. It's very strange to you that this fae you have now met has it. Do you open it or hold it?
Valen immediately drops to his knees. His wings slacken, his shoulders slump, and he like embraces the journal, like holds it really close. And he just kind of pulls up to his face and he takes a really deep breath, like inhaling it, trying to smell. And he smells his mom. It's a scent that he hasn't smelled in a long time, but he knows it's hers. I think at this point, like, how tall are you?
I am like 4 feet.
Okay, so I figure you'd be, I'm kind of like on my knees and slumped, and I kind of like look up barely above me, and just eyes, there's water in his eyes, and it's like tearing up a little bit. And he goes, where did you get this?
It was in a temple outside of my house.
Where are you from?
From Invinia. There were photos of you and your mother.
Then Valen just grabs, he's holding the journal really tight, and he buries his face in it again, and You can kind of lightly hear him sobbing a little bit, like just soaking in the moment, because he's never thought that he'd ever smell that again. And then tears are just streaming down his face. And I think at that point, Sir Charles would come back in his little chinchilla phase and then nuzzle up against his cheek to kind of comfort him a little bit.
Yeah.
And then I just kind of sit there for a minute.
As you're taking it in, Jigalda kind of sits between you and Emberly and looks up. And Jigalda says,
"You said you found these photos in Valen's home. What were you doing in Valen's home?"
"I used to live there. That's where I grew up, but it was a really long time ago. I went back to just search for my family or get any clues about what happened to them. The last that I saw them, they were being attacked by a Tabaxi, and it was my fault."
Valen, roll history with advantage.
That is a 16.
As you're hearing her say this to Jigalda and you're holding so tight, just trying to keep your head above water from the emotions that are flooding your body, you are realizing and remembering from such a young age that when you and your mother escaped to Vinvinia, the house you lived in was pre-made and seemed abandoned, and things had been knocked over and broken. And as you look up into this small fey creature, you realize this is the past tenant that had housed and kept safe you and your mom without even realizing it. But that also, it doesn't make sense because she does not look as old as that would make her.
Val's gonna look at Emberly and be like, and say, how long ago was that?
You can see that the flames kind of just like gutter. She chokes a little bit. It's 100 years ago, I think.
The math isn't mathing in Valen's head. He's trying to figure this out, because when he was there was just this, it was old, and we had to do a lot of work to keep that, to get it to a livable standard, and it was long abandoned.
Yeah.
At hearing that you were, you know, if your family was attacked and you were gone and it was so long ago, I think the emotions are too much for him right now. Mm-hmm. And he looks up at you and, like a child, grabs your waist and just embraces you.
She hugs him back. She puts her arms around his neck.
And then he just you can just feel him just breathing heavily and crying. And he's like, he just goes, "I'm sorry for what you lost, but your home that you left was the only safe place I've ever known." And he just holds on tight.
This is the first person that Emberly has touched in like 100 years. And I think just reliving those memories and the physical contact is like, she just kind of like falls to pieces in your arms, and she kind of just like slumps, and she's, you're fully, like, you're both sobbing.
Instant friendship.
Real quick, I grabbed your hand and shook it and I kissed it. So, I mean, I guess I'm not a person then. I don't count as people. That's cool.
Okay, fair enough.
Jigalda whips her head to you, garbage, and walks up again. Like, and you're like, "Oh God, the last time this cat walked up to me." And her tail turns back into a sharp pointy thing, and she goes,
"You should not intrude on a moment of happiness. They are rare."
Hey, buddy, I'm just trying to keep you honest. I mean, I don't mean anything bad. People are all cast aside. That's what garbage is. Please put the knife away.
The knife does not go away. Take inspiration, though, because that was a great line.
That was great.
Jigalda looks at you and says,
"Why do you want the scope?"
"It's a good scope. It's well known for being a good scope. I need a good scope to kill Lilith."
Jigalda is like scanning and thinking. You can see her cat mind moving so fast. She's looking at both of you as you look. You kind of hold each other and are looking at garbage in her. And she looks at Valen and says,
"We should tell them why we also need the scope." I approve.
And then starts fake licking her own metal paw as a cat-like gesture.
Well, hold on. I called the scope. We all know this. I was here. I brought up the scope first. I was like, I'm going to the Vault Subnautical to get the scope. And now you're telling me you want my score here?
You said you wanted a rifle scope. I think that when you made that joke, it kind of like broke the moment and I backed away and kind of like wiped my tears off.
Val did the same thing. I'm going to kind of look at Jagalda and just like eye her a little bit, but I think she's too preoccupied.
She's now in like the devil's pose of like the Pentagon of cats licking their booty.
Their booty?
Her booty?
Her booty.
Her booty? Her booty.
Booty hole.
Booty.
Yeah.
And he's going to shake his head and be like, all right, when I say this, well, I don't know about you, garbage, but I turn to Emberly and I'm like, I was supposed to find you. You're supposed to be able to help me on my mission that I was given. Well, kind of given, stumbled upon, I should say. And if you want to hear all about it, I can brief you on everything, but I do need your help.
When you say that you need her, I think she like blinks and furrows her brow and then just cocks her head and she's like, and shakes her head. She's like, how could you need me? I haven't even been here. I've been in a different plane for 100 years. What are you trying to do?
You feel Tareth's magic pulse, Valen.
Valen kind of looks down at his hand. I think you can kind of see it pulsing as well. Like the magic, there's this aura around his whole left arm that's just kind of like now like a flow of energy through, and he kind of looks at you and he goes, I think you're supposed to help me save everybody.
I think the vision kind of like snaps back to her mind what happened at the Feywild, and she said, does this have something to do with the vision?
Yeah, we gotta make sure it doesn't happen again. Over the last couple weeks, my old crew and I have been trying to find a way to stop it. And this is where that scope comes in play. It's a piece of an ancient artifact that will help us stop all of that from happening.
What do you mean happening again?
Sorry, that was over 2,000 years ago that the council basically eradicated an entire world. And this only happens every 2,000 years, and this canon is the one thing that we can do, that we can get to stop it from happening again.
We have sufficient evidence that the council will do this when the black hole opens. The Feywild is one of several examples of them stealing technology and magic. However, to build this cannon, we need the scope as well from the Vault Subnautical.
And she narrows her eyes and looks at you, garbage.
The scope I'm after?
Indeed.
And it's going to kill Lilith, yeah? Eventually.
That is up to Valen.
Buddy. As he looks over at Valen to see his reaction.
Valen's gonna look at Jagalda and be like, no offense by this, but you know there's more than one way to skin a cat.
I am not offended. Meow.
Okay.
Valen's left hand like clenches and then like electricity, black electricity sparks off of it. Whether you kill her or I do, she's meeting her end.
I'm gonna hold you to that.
The last time I turned my back on things that were happening and tried to avoid, I guess, my family's duty, it didn't end well. So if I can help you stop this from happening again, there's no way I can walk away from this.
I appreciate that.
Jagalda again looks at you, garbage.
I think we all look at garbage, seeing if he's down or not.
Yeah.
Garbage is just kind of like, he's heard a lot of different things. And so he's still trying to like work through it as he's like, there's a portal, there's a Feywild, there's an ethereal realm, there's, you know, the fucking rifle scope that he wants, that he worked really hard to get the information for, now apparently needs to go to someone else. And the goal is to kill Lilith. And so he's still kind of like looking at everyone on the ship, slowly kind of trying to piece it together, and he goes, well, if you got room for one, and then looks over at TP, two more, I'm willing to lend my services to you.
And the balance gives them a nod.
All right, then. We have an accord.
Emberly?
Yes?
Are you comfortable if I plug into your ship's system?
Yeah, of course.
TP scurries away from the port that she was going to plug into.
She at the raccoon. She scrunches her hunches and then jumps up on top of your whole like screen area, and you see her tail from knife mode go to a plug-in mode and plug in. It's almost like Toothless and how you train your dragon when he has that cool blue spine. It's like that on her back.
Hell yeah.
She's like connecting and whirling, and she goes,
"This ship is very impressive, though out of date."
And she is like thinking, he goes,
"Valen, shall we go to Notuv for the Vaults of Nautical?"
Yeah.
And the cool rings that go around your bubble ship start very fastly and intricately go as Jigalda actually turns the angle of your ship, and you start to head to Notuv, and she says,
"I think we will definitely need to get to know each other more. However, we have 9 hours.
I think I may have a plan. Valon?"
Oh, that's Valen.
I used to make armor and other, you know, costumes for people that were entered in the Vault of Nautical. I don't know if that helps.
I'm looking for someone who's particularly skilled with the needle. So as long as you're that person, you're of service to me, to Valon, and to everyone on this ship.
It's her fucking ship.
Can I call you bitch?
Call me bitch? Is that what he's
saying? Instead of garbage, bitch.
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 You may call me
bitch.
Bitch.
And as garbage says that, and your ship starts to go, Valen, you kind of feel inside you the power of Tarith growing stronger, but not quite strong enough to speak to you yet. And you kind of look out at the stars and feel weight in your heart as you move away from the team who got you here, but kind of a comfort as you look at Emberly and very skeptically look at garbage and think that maybe you're finding the team that will get you to the place you need to go. Friends, it's time for that mid-break ad, and we have a wonderful another TTRPG show that we're ready to share with you. Also, a reminder to stay tuned till the end of this episode to learn what's happening with the Harper's Requiem.
Welcome to Fantasy Pants, an actual play RPG podcast.
The network won't like me saying this. Damn it. The Tythos tragedy was the result of nothing natural. It was an act of deliberate terrorism. We don't know anything, except that we are hurt, and we are scared. But as always, I choose to believe in the power of our luminaries. I will put my faith in the best of our worlds, when we must face the storm again.
A beacon of light, that's our role.
Then shine.
What are you doing? What are you talking about?
They are so much fucking better than me, don't you?
You are weak.
Take him!
Zebulon, you have to remember. You have to remember. Look at the toy. Look at the toy, Zebulon.
It's just the beginning, isn't it?
Monster! Monster!
Can I take your hand?
Roll for initiative.
Your pants?
Are you kidding me?
I crit my pants. Oh, I can smell it.
I crit my pants.
Those cozy fucking beds in the pale moonlight.
They're incredible. You
fuck
are not
that place.
Stop it. It's cool.
It's not cool.
You're fucking so dead.
Wait, was that? Did you come with that?
Shut up. I like it.
Dude, this is the most wild fucking fight. You say?
Just shut up.
Jason Taylor does not shut.
Shirts are off.
You shut your lights. They'll give us freedom from the dark around us.
Go check out Fantasy Pants if you have a chance. And if you're ever interested in collabing with the Dungeon Boys, feel free to reach out to us in Discord. But now, back to the bullies. So you continue this journey, seeing stars from different angles and different perspectives, begin to talk and chat and rest.
As everyone is settling down for the evening, Emberly pulls out a jar of vines from her bag. She casts plant growth to create a few hammocks for everyone to sleep on, a cat tower for Jagalda, and a little doggy den for Inferna. She lays down and she closes her eyes and listens to the sound of her breathing and shuts out the rest of the world. She finds herself settling into the landscape in her mind that appeared when her mind was so close to shattering, while she was trapped in the ethereal realm. She flies across a sky streaked with pinks and oranges and purples that contrasted so vividly against all the all-encompassing nothingness of the ethereal plane. A gentle breeze brushes her cheeks, and the soft murmuring of a stream drifts towards her from behind as she reaches a clearing next to a field of giant wildflowers. She scans the horizon, looking for someone. Helm? Are you there? She waits a few moments, but there's no reply. She lands on a giant wildflower and hugs her small knees to her chest. I don't even know if you can hear me in this plane. I haven't really felt you since the vision. I miss you. Today was crazy, huh? I went from floating alone with just my thoughts and you to keep me company, to visiting my old home, to being surrounded by a tiefling, a halfling, a raccoon, a tiny shapeshifter, a hellhound, and a metal cat. When they started fighting, I just felt so paralyzed. What kind of a name is Garbage, anyway? Do you think his parents named him that, or he just woke up one day and was like, you know what? Today I think I'll be Garbage. And also, for every other day of the rest of my life. I think I'm gonna keep a wide berth from him. He seems, unstable. Valen. God, it's so weird meeting somebody who's grown up in your home, but in a completely different time. I mean, you flew the same skies and slept under the same stars as I did. I wonder what happened to his last crew. I feel like I can trust him, but then he agreed to use a weapon that can destroy entire planets for revenge on someone named Lilith, whoever that is. I don't know what to do with that. I promised you I would protect people. I don't know where this road will lead, but I just know you led me here. Whatever my family was guarding has something to do with all of this. I will not turn my back on them again. I just can't. If this is all connected, maybe it'll help me find out what happened to them and what they were guarding. And with that, she flops onto her back and stares at the sky, silently watching as schools of tiny bioluminescent birds dance across the darkening sky. She finally drifts off to sleep as the flower petals gently close around her, plunging her into a dreamless sleep.
Dear Diary, man, it's been a rough couple of days. Hitched a ride with a couple of smugglers to get off the Stardust. Met up with those fuckers who stole my charm. You know, I really should have known it's a trap, but no. TP swore that he disabled the security system. Man, I really should get into looking up to see if his hardware can be upgraded. Gotta get one of those hologram projectors that the ship mine has. Might be useful to distract some rubes like we had to on Tenebris when we acquired those sick daggers. Yeah. Anyways, I still can't believe that those bastards threw me out of the airlock like I was trash. Motherfucker, I'm garbage. Anyways, I'm gonna have to cut this short. The lack of oxygen left me with a massive headache. Gotta go lay down. Till next time.
So Val takes a moment to find any place in the ship where he can have for himself. He finds himself sitting towards the back of the ship, looking out into the vastness of space. He stares at the journal that belonged to his mother. He feels a faint pulsating of magic on his right shoulder, and he knows that it's Tareth giving him permission to read her journal. He then spends a few hours reading it, and it's things from her time traveling this space, getting stranded on Tareth 19, meeting Tareth, the 2 years she spent with him on that planet, falling in love with him. And as he reads this, tears fall down his face. There are other things in the journal that he bookmarks as reference for later that might help. But about 3/4 of the way through, there's one last entry. And as he reads it, he realizes it's a note from his mother. And it reads, "My sweet Valen, if you're reading this, then I fear the worst has happened and she has found you. I am so sorry that I cannot be there for you in these times that are going to be hard. You need to try your best to remember everything that I taught you, all about being your true self. You have so much potential, and I know the values I instilled in you will allow you to be your true self. I know I never talked about your father much, and now I regret it. But I want you to know that underneath everything, he really is a kind and beautiful person. And when I look at you, I see so much of him in you. I love you with all my heart, my little weefling. Your mother, Vale." And as Valen sits there, reading a note from his mom, tears streaming down his face, he feels this comforting embrace around him. And he knows it's his father, mourning the loss of the one person they loved.
After having these moments and really taking the time of letting the day settle, you all fall asleep. Jigalda and Inferna Jones keep watch. And you get closer and closer to the planet Notuf, a planet that seems to be at war with itself. You're awoken by a slight buzzing noise as Jigalda says,
"I regret to awake you, but we are approaching Notuf."
You see the planet on the horizon.
So Valen is just kind of pacing. He's gotten up from his sleep, feeling well rested, but still. I think that at one point I might accidentally like kick the garbage can he's in, if he's still in the garbage can. Do you just live in the garbage can? Is that how that works?
It's like a TARDIS.
Did you decline my hammock?
TP is in the hammock. He's just chilling. But garbage is more at home in the trash.
So yeah, you feel your trash can bang get accidentally kicked by Valen.
Oh, sorry about that.
You got a warrant?
Excuse me?
Come back with a warrant. Wait, who is that?
It's Valen.
Oh. And then he's gonna, like, push the trash can lid, like, just open enough to where he can, like, peek out. He's like, okay. And then he, like, throws off the top and he's like, "What's up, man?"
Nothing. Just, Jigalda gave us an update.
Thank you for being so hospitable. I'm sorry about earlier, you know, the lack of oxygen. I got a wicked headache.
Yeah, it was a little weird, but whatever.
I think Emberly hears this interaction and that wakes her up, so she pops out and she flies down, kind of look between garbage and Valen, say, "So, what's our plan?"
Oh, sorry. So I got a contact who works in the janitorial for the Vault of Nautical. It should get us in the building, but I only have 2 uniforms, so...
I used to be a costume designer. I could help with that.
Oh, no shit! That works perfectly.
Jigalda cocks her head and looks at Valen and says,
"Are we not entering the race legally?"
There's only 3 of us. We don't really have enough to run as a team.
True. The Nautical was changed this year. There is a minimum of 4 to a team to contend.
All right. Well, I guess we should get those uniforms put up. Do you have like something to replicate a replicator to get some threads and some fabric so we can create those costumes?
God.
Most ships would have a replicator, so yes, you can have one. It might be an out of date replicator.
I don't know how up to date it is, but yeah, I've got a replicator here. She's a little glitchy, but it's okay.
As you quickly get to work creating these costumes and going over a plan with each other, you see Notu. Very, very prominent now. And you realize why this planet is named the planet at war with itself. Half of this planet is raging lava fields, volcanoes, and ash. While the other half of the planet is a giant ocean. All kinds of strange small islands and rock formations from the active volcanic surface underneath the water. And the small strip of very fertile land that runs between the two is so narrow in some places you can look to your right and see these volcanoes and lava fields and look to your left and see the ocean crashing. Some are wide enough that settlements have settled on this planet. And just due to the rough terrain, this has become the home of the Valtzim Nautical, the most prestigious race in the entire dial system. Think of the Olympics of the Earth is kind of what this is for this entire system. And as you're approaching, you see ships all around you because people are prepping for this. This is the biggest broadcasted news event. It's just as big as you can get. It happens every 15 years. And as you kind of get closer and closer, you are stopped by a large ship that flags your ship, Emberly.
Emberly, you are getting a hail.
Okay, let's connect them.
Boop, boop.
Hey there, you're here for the Valtzim Nautical.
Yep. Yes, we are.
Contestant, media, or bystander?
Janitory.
Janitory should have been on planet 3 days ago.
Yeah, we ran into engine problems.
Roll deception.
Oh, God damn it. Okay.
Yeah, this one's kind of an old model. She's a little glitchy.
So because she's helping you, Sam, you can roll it twice with advantage.
I rolled a 19.
Perfect.
Woo!
But you only have a +3 deception.
That's brave telling lies with a +3.
Yeah, definitely passes the DC.
Yeah, that makes sense. That is a pretty shitty ship.
Hey,
do you want to get in? Yes, I thought. Okay, you're going to want to go left at the next airstream. Watch out for all those media ships that are coming in. Just make your way down, and then you can land, I guess.
Thank you, boss.
I'm not your boss. Out. And then it just like, doop.
What a dick.
That guy was lovely.
That guy seemed wonderful. Like he really knew his stuff.
As you make your way down, you land amongst, quote unquote, like a ship parking lot of sorts. And in the like back area behind the huge Colosseum.
Well, I'm going to dress garbage. He starts suiting up.
I don't know if that's wise, but yeah.
It's a wild choice. You all get out of your ship and Emberly, you feel a bump towards you back and you look back and Inferno Jones is staring at you like, oh. Please don't leave me.
Oh, hey puppy. Are you hungry? And she like hands her a ration.
She ignores it and does like a doggy foot point out the door where you're headed.
You want to come with us? Okay. Yeah. Balin. Is she good at, like, is she trained? Do I have to worry about her running off and, like, killing someone?
No, she should be pretty good. We haven't had any issues.
You also never took her anywhere.
Does she have her harness on still?
No, that was, like, when she was a puppy.
Okay. Well, fuck it. We can take a risk. Whatever. If she bites somebody, then whatever. It's fine.
That's okay.
I don't think she will. Like, she's more scared of everybody else. So, as long as she stays by us, I think she's fine. He's gonna open up his jacket and be like, Sir Charles. He's gonna pop out. I'm like, all right, buddy. You know the drill. You're gonna watch the ship. You're gonna hang out here with Jigalda. Make sure that in case we need to get out of here, you can provide some cover and do your thing.
I'm going to try to enhance this ship.
She does not ask your permission.
That sounds great. She does not mind.
Can I get a
quick description of what all of these familiars are. I caught on to a hellhound. I have no idea.
Sir Charles. Wait, really quick. Why don't you describe your character so they know what you look like? And then describe your... I'm so sorry. And then describe your familiars.
Okay. Emberly is a fire fairy. She's got pink, like a pink pixie cut, and she's got wings made of fire, and the flames are kind of like an orange-pink color, and she's got nice, bright, orange, flamey eyeballs. And Inferna Jones is a black hellhound with some fires at her little feathery spots on her toes and her tail and her ears.
Yeah, and she kind of, when she walks, it's very interesting. It's almost like ash falls off her, but gets, like, reabsorbed.
I love that. Cool.
Okay, Valen is a tiefling.
I know you. I don't got to... What the fuck is Sir Charles?
Sir Charles?
I did my homework. I listened to the podcast. I know Valen.
Sir Charles is my little familiar. He's a little chinchilla with a top hat that morphs into different things. He's a shapeshifter.
Okay.
He's very cute.
Yeah, I usually leave him behind.
Have you seen Treasure Planet?
Yeah.
He's like, he's like that. Like Morph.
He's based off Morph.
Morph is the best thing ever.
Garbage is a halfling, and he's got like gray white hair, except for a it's all messy. And then it's got like a black triangle coming down, like in the front.
Like a Danzig?
Yeah.
Bet. Okay.
And then he's wearing like a suit that is like in the universe, it's like a generation older, so it's not quite in style. And it looks presentable, but on closer inspection, you can see that it's not quite matching, and there are patches and random places. It's very obvious that he's like found these different pieces of a suit and tried to put it together. Our TP is a cyborg raccoon. He looks like he's completely a raccoon, except he's got glowing blue eyes.
One or two?
Two. And then he has his hind right leg is made out of metal. He can talk like a raccoon, but his translator box is malfunctioning. So he doesn't like to talk in common because it is painful to him.
So you kind of cross this parking lot. You see Inferna Jones stick very closely to Emberly. And Teepee, actually, you see him behind Garbage, but he's, like, mocking the way he walks, but he's, like, a raccoon, so it doesn't look like it, and he's trying to walk like he's, like, part of the group.
Does Raccoon have a uniform, too?
He's got a little name tag.
Okay, so you all walk and get to the back, and there is a... Aarakocra, kind of very buff hawk Aarakocra, kind of standing with his arms crossed, and he's kind of yawning like he's at the end of his shift, and he puts a hand up and says, entry passes.
Here you go. And he's going to hand over three entry passes.
How would you have entry passes to the Vault of Nautical?
Because he forged them. He got them from a connection.
Roll deception.
Oh, God. It's only plus three. Oh, that is a 7.
This is a piece of paper with crayon scribbled on it. Did you mean to give me an actual entry pass, or...?
At this point, Emberly looks at Garbage like she is, like, going to eviscerate him, and she goes, you had one job! One job! What did you do with our entry passes?
He kind of looks back and forth.
I was robbed. I don't know.
You're gonna have to excuse our friend here. Apparently, we can't trust him with anything. And she glares at him.
You can roll deception or performance, Emberly.
It's a 3.
I've got one of those on my team too, but you're not getting in without an entry pass,
dude. I know we're late. We need to get in there. The dude let us up. Come on, man. Just.
Persuasion with disadvantage. You're at disadvantage because the other two have already tried and gotten negatives.
3.
I don't like this not having advantage thing. Can we just have my character only have advantage?
Sorry about that. That's not how we play.
Okay.
So he rolled a 10 and a 4. So that's a total of 10 with that 4.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he looks at you and he goes, yeah, I'm going to lose my job if I let you in. So no.
Listen.
And you can actually all get out of here now.
We're going to lose our jobs if we don't, like, make it to...
Sounds like not my problem. By the way, your dude's running off. And you guys all look, and Teepee is running as fast as Teepee can, like, smelling the air and taking its little raccoon hands and, like, gesturing and, like, just smelling.
Guys, I think we need to follow our compatriot over here. Let's go.
He is, like, running.
I look at Valen, like, what have we done?
The chaos begins. TP is running around the corner of, like, the side building. Are you all running after TP?
I think I'm going to, like, motion to them. But if not, I'm going to take off towards TP.
This is our chance. We'll never have to look at him again.
I know.
Oh, shit.
Valen just like, he like looks like he goes, sorry, buddy. And well, hold on. We got to get this guy. And then we just starts running after him.
She like gives like an exasperated head roll and she's like, okay. And she flies after them.
Okay. So you're all running after. TP has rounded a corner and then almost like a cartoon sitcom, you just and all stop. And you see TP like little tiny raccoon hands like doing uppies at a giant griff. Just kind of looking down. Jen, can you please describe your character?
Yeah, so Squish is a 6'3" griff weighing upwards over 300 pounds. She is wearing leather pants with a overskirt that looks eerily like a ballerina tutu. She has a couple of pistol holders. And, you know, like a couple of harnesses with some, like, other additional weapons tucked into it. And she's waiting in line as with the other participants. She feels a little grippy hands, like, at the bottom of her skirt, pulling on her skirt. And she looks down, and she sees this raccoon, and she gets so excited. She's like, hey, buddy! And, like, picks him up. And is, like, cooing him and, like, oh, buddy, look at your, like, look at how well you healed up. I'm so glad that, you know, that your leg is looking like this and your eyes. I never thought that they would be this color. And she is just all about this raccoon.
Garbage, you are in shock. You've never seen Teepee talk to anyone or be like this with anyone. And when you met Teepee, he was already a cyborg.
Hey, buddy, you gonna introduce us to your friend here?
Teepee's face kind of going a scrunch, like he's in pain, and you hear his little voice box go,
friend, save me!
Oh,
buddy.
And then, like, nuzzle into Squish.
Yeah, and Squish is gonna see that, like, obviously pain. Buddy, what's going on? Let's see. We'll have to fix that for you.
And just little raccoon fingers scratch at the voice box.
Hey, I didn't catch your name there.
Squish, this is the first time you look up and realize there's these three random people.
And he's going to extend, like, a timid handshake to, like, introduce himself. The name is Garbage.
Cabbage? Are you saying cabbage?
Cabbage?
Garbage. Garbage. Like trash. And then he's going to look slightly down. Oh.
No. That's not a good name for such a valiant fellow as yourself. And she's going to put the raccoon up on her shoulder. And she's going to extend her very large hippo people hands. And, like, grabbing you and shaking you. But you're a halfling, so it's going to be jarring your whole entire... Yeah, name is Squish. And this little buddy here, we go way, way back. When I found him... He was not in good shape, but we were able to get this leg fixed up with some parts from my ship, and the eyes, I didn't think that they would, you know, be this color, and I found him in a whole bunch of other little critters that were just going through a ringer, man. This wasn't very cool, but I'm glad that this is where you ended up. Are these your little buddies?
TP points at Garbage and goes, like, head nods very furiously, and then points to the other two and kind of does, like, the shrug meme. And in front of Jones growls.
Oh man, we can adjust that attitude there, buddy.
Valen's just gonna be like, no, I think she's fine the way she is. Hi, my name is Valen.
Very, very vigorous, large handshake.
Pleasure meeting you. Pleasure meeting you. And then this is my new friend, Emberly.
Hi, she sees just out of reach.
How small are you?
She's very small. She's 4 feet. She's like halfling size, but she's flying, so.
She sees she stays out of the way, like she doesn't want the handshake.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. You guys here for this, too? You guys are part of a team? You guys, what you guys doing here?
We're trying to figure that out right now. Yeah, our passes didn't work. I mean, we bought them online, and they just didn't print correctly. And yeah, you know how it goes.
But I was gonna look over at garbage, and be like, they were written in fucking crayon, man. Wow, what the fuck?
Shut up, dude. She doesn't know that.
Man, y'all were really scammed out of that one. Yeah.
Can I ask you, garbage, how much you paid for those?
200 credits for all three. I don't know the credit system, so I don't know if that's, like, the price of a house or not.
I think Val will see someone, like, a janitorial staff walk by and realize that, like, the uniform is not correct either.
Not at all.
Yep.
And he's just gonna take off the uniform, like, this is fucking bullshit. God.
What are you wearing underneath of that, sir? No. Wait.
It's just a jumpsuit, but he takes it off and he has his like normal attire on, his leather jacket and everything just underneath it. Just takes it off. It's just like,
I just wanted these giant hippo hands covering his eyes. Like, no, sir, please, no.
Oh, shit. You're in line, sir.
Virgin eyes.
I need Valen to roll me a perception check.
Oh, that's a natural 20 for 23.
All right. Woo. Natural 20, fantastic. You look up as you're talking to this very kind Griff, and you think you see your ticket in as Nyx Pips is signing in ahead of this whole line and talking to someone.
Valen walks up to Nyx and grabs him by the shoulder.
He turns around and goes, hey, see? Oh, God.
He kind of squeezes a little harder. He goes, hey, buddy, let's chat for a second, and I kind of pull him back to the group.
He walks up slowly and looks around at all of you, gives garbage a particular look of disgust.
Hey, how you doing?
You look over, you have no idea who this fucker is, but he has an air of importance. He has silver, like a silver pompadour slicked back. He has extremely nice clothes. He's like tall, thin. Definitely you can tell he has like recording equipment like attached to his vest. This is Nyx Pips. He's one of the biggest announcers out there. He always hosts the Vols of Nautical. And you are seeing that your new companion person is kind of holding his shoulder really tight. What do you want?
This is my old friend here, Nyx Pips. Let me introduce you to my new friends. And he kind of gestures to everybody. I'm like, we have Amberly.
Hi.
Garbage.
Hey there.
And Squish.
I saw her in the line before I saw you come up. Do you know each other from the past? And he's looking at Squish and Valen.
Don't worry about that. But I think you're going to do us a favor and get us in right now.
Why would I ever, ever do that after the treatment you gave me?
He's going to move his hand to the back of his neck and be like, well, if you want that interview, that exclusive, then you'll do it for us.
I wanted that interview with Grayson Cato, and I don't see him around here with you.
He's gonna squeeze his neck.
Roll intimidation!
Amberly's gonna kind of lean in, maybe kind of like fly around behind him, and then I would imagine just to kind of like position herself to help if she needs to.
The fire makes him sweat.
Yeah. And Ferda Jones is on the other side of him.
Garbage is gonna go right up to the front of him and then like shake his hand. Be like, it's an honor to meet you. Finally, after all these years, watching you. Big, big fan. And he's gonna, like, try to squeeze his hand as he's doing it.
Nyx's face is, like, even turning more pearly white than it already is. What'd you roll, Valen?
Valen rolled a 2, but I have a plus 10, so it's a 12.
Well, the DC was 11. He looks at you all and says, you two? And he looks at you, Squish.
I'm 6'3", 300 pounds. She's just putting her hands behind her. She rolled a 17 for an insight, and she can tell that these aren't really friends. That they're like, I know you're being like intimidation. So she's just lending her sheer powerful force, and she'll like lean her face in because he's tiny, right? Like, or how?
He's like 5'10".
Oh, okay. Well,
she's definitely still, way shorter than
still
you.
Tiny, yeah. So she's gonna like push her face in and be like, friends, right? Like, having no idea.
You saw your way into the vault's nautical and you took it. I love it. He looks at you and goes, all right. But I do want an interview then. And then he starts walking towards the door and goes, K-Bop.
He's going to let go of his neck and then, like, turn him to him and kind of fix his jacket. And he leans in, Val leans in close. He goes, don't you fuck this up again.
He narrows his eyes at you and you all follow. And he, like, gets up. He, like, smooths his hair back. Kind of, you'd see a total different stance, and he goes, yes, as I was saying, I am early, I know, for the paparazzi, but you know how it goes when you're running the whole thing. Also, these are my crew. The guy looks around and goes, yeah, sure, whatever you want, Mr. Pips. And then opens the door, and there's a line of, like, 75 people that you just passed, and you walk in and go inside, and now you're in this huge, like, gladiators-type arena. There's groups of people everywhere who are all contestants who already made it past everything you just bypassed to get into the Vault of Nautical. And they're all, like, talking to reporters. They're freshening weapons. And some of them, you notice, are kind of looking around, scanning, like, just kind of wandering because there's this new rule this year that you have to have a group of four or more to compete in the Vault of Nautical, which is probably one of the reasons Valen was like, okay, cool, this awesome Griff is just coming with us now. And you kind of all are just like standing there, and Nyx goes, oh, look, it's the representative from goes the IO. I gotta go, but don't leave without giving me my interview. And then he kind of just walks off. And as he walks off, he brushes past a very proud looking Herringon who makes eye contact with you, Valen, and kind of cocks his head. Fox, will you please describe your character?
I'm just a cute little bunny.
He's a giggle guy.
Just a cute little bun. He's a short little bunny. He's got a pretty decorative ear cuff on one ear that goes all the way around and sits on at the base. He's wearing some freshly polished chainmail in a golden color. He's got a little cape and a long sword by his side. And he's got a book strapped to his belt that he's got, and he's just a kind of a tan, dappled color, just beiges, tans, kind of golden.
And then when Nyx walks away, he flips him off. So then when he makes eye contact with the bunny, it kind of looks like he's flipping him off, but then he goes, oh, no, not you.
Yeah, it better not be me.
Wow, your ear cuff is awesome.
Oh, I forgot I still had that on.
I'm Emberly.
You can call me Squeak.
Valen just double takes. He goes, did you just say Squeak?
Squeak.
He takes a deep breath.
It's just one word. Squeak.
Hi, my name is Valen. And he sends his hand out.
He just like keeps looking up at you and like looking at the hand like, I think I'm okay.
Oh, okay. All right. Anyway.
And right then you're interrupted. Someone runs up and goes, okay. Are you five a group? Is this a group for Vault of Nautical? I need to be taking names down.
Yes.
Squeak, take a point of inspiration. Just met this person. We're a group. Absolutely. Okay, I need names, please. And she looks at each of you in turn.
Well, I'm Squeak, and... Well, speak up, everyone.
I'm Valen.
I'm Emberly.
Garbage here.
Squish.
That's not going to be confusing.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, you have officially 5 for the Vault of Nautical. So you are a team. You are entered. You'll go through the basic procedures, and then we'll get you all started here pretty soon. We are rushing to get this ahead of schedule. Apologies if you did not get the memos. But yes, I hope you don't die. She kind of looks at you all up and down, doubtful, and says... Well, best of luck and enjoy the Vault of Nautical. I hope you're ready to become heroes. And that's where we're going to go ahead and end our session. Hello, amazing Dungeon Boys community. As promised, I have an update for you all. I just ask that you stay till the end of this message. I'm sure you've been wondering why so many guest stars have come into the show, and where all of our favorite friends, the Harper's Requiem, are. Well, with a heart filled with very big feelings, it has come to me to tell you that Anthony, Lindsay, Grant, Ellie, and Dylan have moved on from the Dungeon Boys podcast at this time. Now please, before you throw your hands in the air, I'd really like to tell you a bit more. We started this project in the deep winter of 2020, and we fell madly in love with this adventure and our friendships that were blooming. But as our TTRPG adventure moved forward, so did the wild adventure that we happen to all call real life. Jobs change, families grow, people bloom, and luckily, our podcast grew, thanks to amazing listeners like you. But alas, the demands of real life with the demands of a podcast growing bigger can be hard to balance. And some of our team had to evaluate where the balance of that lied with their lives. I can promise you with the utmost confidence that the OG cast of the Dungeon Boys holds nothing but immense love and gratitude in our hearts for each other, and all the absolutely amazing memories we've made on this show. There was no big falling out, no clash of ideas. Life simply changed and bloomed in the most amazing, fantastical way that it can. And Arland and I were the only ones who still really had space for this quirky show in our daily lives. Now, most of you know me as your feisty, hard-headed dungeon master for this podcast, but I'm going to take a moment to be very vulnerable in this very public space, which is always hard to do. I had to make the decision to keep the show going or not. With the logistics and stress and reigniting of passion that comes along with such a large and heavy shift, I worried our listeners like you would throw their hands in the air and scoff. I worried I'd miss the old cast and my dear friends too much. That it would be hard, too hard to play this adventure without some of the most amazing and creative humans that I have ever met. But when I really dove into my heart, I just know that I love this story. I have loved writing it, and I really felt it deserved a chance to be completed. And I so badly want to tell you all the ending. And then I thought about all of you, our TTRPG community and family. I thought about the people I've met along the way and what makes this community so incredible. And it's about the art and the love of the game. It's the excitement of what we're doing right now. Sitting down at a table with brand new folks and never knowing what's going to happen. Of getting to know the stories of the hundreds of people in our community, in our Discord, and at their tables and what's going on with them. And to the thousands upon thousands of followers who laugh right along with us every 2 weeks. Or when, you know, I get my ass in gear and get the episodes edited. But I feel like this announcement might have shown a bit of light on why some of those were so postponed this past year. But back to what makes this community amazing. It's the acceptance and love of bringing a new person to the table and connecting with them, and the fiercest memories of the ones you just finished telling a story with. And I realize that you all deserve the ending of this story too. It wouldn't be fair to just stop it right in the middle. So while it may not be what you pictured, I hope it's something that you immensely enjoy, and maybe can even love as much as we all do. Change is really hard, but it's a beautiful thing. But I'm so lucky to have had Anthony, Dylan, Lindsay, Grant, and Ellie in this amazing story, and now able to cheer us on from the sidelines. And even more lucky to welcome Molly, Fox, Sam, and the Jen into this story, to this community, and to this table. Now don't worry, it won't be as if the Harper's Requiem never existed. Without them, we never could have gotten this far. And who knows? Maybe we'll get some nostalgic guest appearances and cameos in the future. But these new adventurers, fate has called to them. And the Adial system needs them now more than ever. Just like we need all of you listening now more than ever. And I can't wait to just keep doing what we do. Be a bunch of friends, telling a story, Dungeons & Dragons style. I'm so very lucky for this new team.
and this new take on this world and this adventure. So thank you for listening to this long-winded explanation, and for always staying tuned with what the Adial space system is up to. We promise to fight as hard as ever to make sure that all of your space travels are safe.